Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
That's better. Welcome to worship this morning at Little Swatara. Time for announcements. I do know I have a couple. Your call slates are due today. There is a box out in the narthex. I put mine in this morning. It feels pretty full, so that's a good sign. But today is the last day to get those in. I believe there are extra copies back there if you should need one, if you don't have yours with you today. This week, as you can see from all the decorations and the trees and kind of feeling a little ocean breeze coming through here this morning, Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow morning. The Bible School picnic is Friday at 6 o'clock. Just because you feel you're a little too old to come for Vacation Bible School does not mean you should not come for the picnic. Okay, the kids do a lot of stuff all week. At the picnic, they want to show you what they did all week. They want to sing their songs for you. They want to show you their craft projects that they did. So please, come out 6 o'clock Friday, 6:30? Oh, sorry, 6:30. Well, my family, you say 6 o'clock, that way we know we'll be here on time. So. Is there anyone else that has an announcement?
I just want to share that Pastor Bob has 4 more weeks to serve our congregation before he moves on to retirement. And on August 10th is his last Sunday with us preaching. Okay, he's going to still be moving forward in life. He was the jokester at first service. But we want to invite everyone in the congregation to join us after the 10:30 worship for a luncheon to just celebrate the time that we've had to get to know Pastor Bob and to have a send-off for him. So please plan to attend. You don't need to bring anything but yourself.
Gathering Place Cafe. There we are. For the past 3 years, since the Gathering Place Cafe has been a ministry of this congregation, every year we've talked about having a thank you for all of our volunteers. We've had, just from this congregation, we've had at least 60 people who have volunteered at some point in the 3 years. Some were, you know, there in the beginning doing painting and so on and so forth, and others continue to work to this day. And every year we'd say, boy, we've got to have some kind of thank you for our volunteers who really are the reason for the success of the Gathering Place Cafe. And so finally, we got our act together, and we decided that on the 25th of July, we're going to have a picnic. And the picnic will be at my house. We're going to barbecue chicken and have a drink. And then we invite those of you who can come to bring some kind of potluck dish, covered dish, with you. And bring also a lawn chair, because it's looking like there are going to be more people there than we have chairs to go around. And I will, by the Sunday before, we'll have a map to get to our place. We live, those of you who've been there before know it's one of those places where you can't get there from here. And so we'll have a map for you to help. And if you need some assistance getting up our hill, I'll be willing to come down and walk up the mountain with you. And so we're really hoping that we have lots of people there. You're also welcome to bring your spouse. There's a sign up at the cafe, and there's a sign up back here as well. And if you forget to do either of those, come anyway. But we would kind of like to know how many to prepare for, because at this point it's looking like they're going to be 50 or 60, and we want to be sure to have enough chicken for everybody. So please come.
All right, and then, as everybody knows, because I keep talking about it, this week, this Friday, the youth leave for NYC, and we are psyched. We are very excited. We are continuing to take donations for the offering projects at NYC. There are 2 major offering projects that they're taking. They are doing health kits, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of room in our suitcases at 50 pounds apiece to take out all the pieces that are in a health kit, so we're asking for monetary donations for the health kits. They are also donating money to the Haiti Medical Project, also a very worthwhile cause that we would like to participate in donating to that project. Now, we have enough drivers for Friday when we come home. It's going to be a little tight. We are telling our in-laws that we really don't want them to spend the whole entire day in Philly till 1 o'clock in the morning to stick around and drive us home. This is my combination prayer request and announcement. Carl is 1 year since his stem cell transplant, and hallelujah, thank the Lord, he is doing fabulous. And he has his 1 year checkup that afternoon. We want him to enjoy that day and not stress about having to wait in the airport till 1 o'clock in the morning to come bring us home on Friday. So if anybody has a little extra time that they would be willing, we can squeeze what we have now. We have enough room. It would be nice to have one more. So either see Mark, myself, or either the Yensers, if you're willing to do that. So that is my combination prayer request and announcement on that. So any other announcements? I have one other prayer request. Landis Wenger is a recently graduated senior from high school. Spent the week with Savannah and Alexis back at camp this week for musical week. About a week or two after he graduated from high school, he was diagnosed with lymphoma. The family's doing very well. Landis has been working back at camp all summer as a counselor, so that's been a great thing for him. It's really kept his focus on God and his mind occupied. He spent this week at camp running back and forth to the doctor starting treatment this week. So just prayers for them and all the family. Anybody else with any prayer concerns?
Want to just lift Tessa up this week for Traveling Mercies. She'll be leaving Nigeria on the 19th to head home, and then she'll spend a week at the Mennonite Central Committee's center in Akron here in Pennsylvania before she comes home. So just keep her in your prayers.
I have two others while Matt's bringing the mic around. The Reinharts attend the early service, and so we prayed for Gerhardt and the Reinhardt family and Tim in the early service and want to remind us to continue doing that. Specifically, Gerhardt tomorrow is having a toe amputated, and the hope is that it will heal quickly so that the valve replacement that he's been waiting for about a year will be able to happen sooner rather than later. So let's remember Gerhardt in our prayers. Also, Jerry Seiler is going in tomorrow for a new implant. I think it's kind of a combo defibrillator, French fry fryer, colored TV kind of a unit. So let's remember Jerry in our prayers as well.
Our neighbor, Donna Strauss's father, passed away yesterday, so just keep her and her family in our prayers.
What was the first name, Karen?
Donna Strauss.
Strauss. Okay. Any other prayer concerns? Oh, I see a hand back there.
As my mother mentioned, we were at camp back this week, and one of the best reasons to go to camp is to see Doris, the nurse. But her father passed away this week, and I just wanted to lift up her and her family as they're going through some really tough emotional times and some family issues.
I don't see any others, so.
What was the last one?
Doris, the nurse back at camp. I don't know Doris's last name, but Doris has been there as long as anybody can remember, she's a fixture. And her, Doris Snyder, and her father passed away this week. And I think we're ready to consecrate.
Let's pray together. God, we're so grateful that we can be together as the body of Christ in this place. That there are times when we laugh together, and there are times when we weep together, and it's all part of the deal. And we're so grateful that beyond this body, that we're a part of a much larger body, a great cloud of witnesses, some who have gone on to their reward and others who are still alive. But it's this great cloud of witnesses that we're a part of. And so there probably isn't a moment when we are not
prayed for by somebody. And we're grateful for that. And we're grateful for those prayers that we carry with us from day to day. And so we add to these prayers our continued prayers for our young people as they travel out to Colorado for their traveling mercies and just a rich time, and for another driver to show up at 1:30 in the morning to help provide transportation home. We pray for the Reinhardt family as they continue to wrestle with the loss of the shop and wrestle with all of the issues around cleaning that site up. Be with them. Give them grace and peace. And we pray especially for Tim as he realizes what is next for him in his life while things are resolved there at the shop, and for Gerhard as he anticipates this amputation of a toe tomorrow, and then beyond that, we hope soon after that is able to have the valve bypass that he's been waiting for a long time. We can't imagine what it would be like to be Landis Wanger, who graduated from high school, and that's a time that I remember as an exciting time with all sorts of hope for the future, and yet discovering that he has lymphoma and has to go for treatments. And be with him, and we pray that you'd give him an extra measure of your grace and open up the windows of heaven, the portals of heaven, and pour out your healing virtue upon him. We're so grateful for Tessa and her service in Nigeria, and that she'll be coming home soon. And we pray that you would continue to hold her close to you, and others who are traveling with her, that they would have traveling mercies, that they would arrive home safely in just about a week from today. We pray for Donna Strauss's neighbor, whose mother passed away, and also we pray for Doris Snyder as she grieves the loss of her father. There are lots of other prayer concerns that have been unspoken. Some are just a regular part of our prayer concerns that we pray for day after day after day. Continue to keep us fresh and connected with you through our prayers. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever. Amen. We had a little debate up here as to what comes next. And I don't think, did I pray for your dad? I don't think I did. I kept looking at his name thinking that I prayed it, and then I realized as my prayer, so we're going to say a prayer for Jerry Seiler. Oh Lord, be with Jerry and be with Pauline and be a blessing to them both. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, both in the early service and in this service, we wanted to just very briefly say thank you to the many volunteers who are going to be a part of Vacation Bible School. The Vacation Bible School at Little Swatara is an historic ministry. When some of the old geezers get together and talk about the good old days, one of the things they talk about is the tremendous Vacation Bible School program that we've had over the years. There were some years where it reached and maybe even surpassed 300 children from the community. So this is a vital ministry in this church. And if you look at that list of names in your bulletin, you see that it takes an enormous number of people to make this thing work. And when you came in this morning, was this a great surprise or what? I felt like I was aboard my sailboat heading off into the horizon. And so if you are one of the volunteers for Vacation Bible School this year, could you briefly rise to your feet? Yeah, and there are many more than this. There were quite a number in the early service. If you would stand just briefly, I'd like to offer a word of prayer for you. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for these volunteers who are continuing this tradition of an exciting Vacation Bible School that reaches out to not only our own children here from Little Swatara, but many other children in this community. We pray that that you would keep these volunteers fresh and resourced just with lots of energy to continue to be involved with these children until it closes this Friday evening. Be with them and bless them. Thank you for their lives. We give thanks for these children who will be attending. We pray that they would be refreshed and enriched and that they would learn that Jesus is someone that they would love to commit their lives to. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You gonna do the rest?
Will you stand, please? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men and women. Please stay standing. The hymn will be projected up there on the screen.
Please be seated. And if you would be ready in a moment to sing as a response to a time of prayer that we're going to have for our brothers and sisters in Nigeria, Lord, listen to your children praying. I know many of you know it by heart, but if you need help with that, you can see the number listed there in the hymnal. At conference this past week, actually it ended a week ago, we had about 10 business items, but I personally felt that one of the most important items of business, if not the most important item of business, was a resolution that we unanimously passed to fast and pray for our sisters and our brothers in Nigeria. And it's The resolution is two full pages long, but I want to read a couple of excerpts from this so that you can know what we have resolved to do. You know, we sent two delegates to annual conference, and since it was a unanimous vote, our delegates voted to support this resolution. And so now it's not a resolution of annual conference, it's our resolution. We resolve to do these things. And I want to let you know what are the things that we have resolved to do. Grieving with each new word from Nigeria, we as the annual conference of the Church of the Brethren resolve to walk with our sisters and brothers in Christ by entering a season of fasting and prayer. We commit ourselves to the practice of lament, prayer, fasting, and bearing witness. And then these are each listed and some explanation given as to each what each of these meant. The first is, in lament, we return to the rich tradition of our faith witnessed to by the Book of Psalms. We bring to God the realities of evil and violence, knowing that they bear no resemblance to the ways of God. In prayer, we intercede for our sisters and brothers, asking God for protection, justice, and peace. And we give thanks for their profound witness as they strive for the well-being of their families and communities, seeking to embody the peace so graciously given through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fasting, we let go of a little in order to accompany those who are losing so much. And we stand before God with them. We name our longing for the day when life overcomes death, when justice and peace meet, when love drives out fear. In bearing witness, we share the stories of our sisters and brothers, bringing atrocities to light, confident in our faith that the good news of Jesus Christ is indeed light in a world covered in darkness. We commit, and here's a specific commitment that we're making. We commit a week of the summer to spend significant amounts of time in fasting and prayer, beginning on Sunday, August the 17th through Sunday, August 24. We invite the worldwide community of the Church of the Brethren and our sister congregations in Nigeria, India, Dominican Republic, Haiti, Brazil, and Spain, as well as brethren groups with which we are in conversation in the Dominican Republic, in the Democratic Congo, Republic of the Congo. We in Africa, we call it Dr. Congo. And other friends and believers to join in this commitment. May we be the body of Christ together as we pray and fast for peace and reconciliation. And then finally, we further resolve to partner with EYN, that's Ecclesia Orientale Nigeria, Church of the Brethren in Nigeria, and Ecumenical International Relief and Development Agencies to offer support as requested and directed by the leadership of our Nigerian brethren. Rebecca Dali was at annual conference this year. She was scheduled to do two insight sessions. She ended up doing five or six because so many people were eager to hear the story of what's happening in Nigeria and what's going on there. To date, as of last Sunday, there were more than 2,000 brethren who lost their lives in the conflict there, and it looks like it's getting worse rather than better. And this is something that is an issue, and these are people who urgently need our prayers. So let's pray together. God, we thank you that we can again be a part of that great cloud of witnesses 10,000 miles away from our sisters and brothers in Nigeria. We hear the stories and We have become so desensitized over the years by the images that we see on TV that it's hard for us to even take them seriously. It's hard for us in our heart of hearts to think of those things as actually really happening. Even for those of us who have lived in Nigeria, it's hard to make a connection from so many miles away. But, oh God, I know that your heart aches because of what is happening there. And you long for us to join with you in prayer. Just as Jesus, on that night of agony before his crucifixion, longed for his brethren to gather with him in prayer in the garden, you long for us to join with you in lamenting what's happening in Nigeria and praying that your kingdom would come and your will might be done in Nigeria as it is in heaven. And so we pray for those families who've lost loved ones. Whole families have been extinguished from the face of the earth. Countless churches have been destroyed, church buildings. But your church continues to thrive. And we thank you for the heart of our Nigerian sisters and brothers who aren't filled with anger and rage toward Boko Haram and others who are inflicting some of the violence. But they're praying for them as well, praying for peace, the peace of Jesus that passes all understanding. And so we join with them in their prayers. And we commit ourselves to coming together as a people to devote a week to fasting and prayer, believing that you hear and answer the prayers of your people. Lord, we ask this all in the name of Jesus.
Listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power. Send us grace.
I was convicted at annual conference to do two things my last five Sundays here with you, and one is to have some special prayer for our sisters and brothers in Nigeria, and the other one is to read from the diary of Elder John Klein each of these five Sundays. And the reason for that was I was a member of Standing Committee, and before each session of Standing Committee, Sister Nancy Sollenberger Heischman, our moderator this year, read from the diary of Elder John Klein. And I was so inspired by the life of Elder John Klein that I thought, boy, that'd be really a great thing to read portions of that for us. One of the reasons I made that decision is because Nancy said, you know, Elder John Klein was very much like the Apostle Paul. He was a missionary. He devoted his life to those 29 years of his life before he was martyred in 1846. He devoted his life to church planting and missionary journeys. And so the first of these writings, I want to read just a portion from his first missionary journey in 1835. He had just been called to the ministry. He was a minister of the first degree. Back then, you were called to be a deacon, and then you might be called to be a minister of the first degree, and then a minister of the second degree, and then eventually you might be called to be an elder. He wasn't called to be an elder until 1848. But this is his first missionary journey. He left The beautiful Shenandoah Valley, Rockingham County, Virginia, Linville Creek area, if you've ever been there. And he traveled up through the valley through what is today West Virginia, though it was still part of Virginia in 1835, through Maryland, into Pennsylvania, into Ohio, down into Kentucky, and into Tennessee, and then back up to Virginia again, to home, Linville Creek. And he traveled all by horseback. It took exactly 2 months to the day, and he traveled 1,317 miles. And this is just a bit of an excerpt from his time when he stood by a tree that was planted right where West Virginia, what is today West Virginia, Virginia, and Kentucky joined together, if you know your map of the east coast of the United States. He was on that very spot where those three states joined together today. And this is what he writes. I could not help thinking while there, what a glorious country we have in prospect. In other words, we have the potential to become a glorious country. And what a goodly land it may come to be if people can be induced to turn to the Lord and become faithful followers of the meek and lowly Jesus. What a work we have to do! Exclamation point. And listen, the work hasn't been finished. We still have quite a work to do. And then he ends with this little personal note about the weather. The weather is delightful, and have spent several days, see if you recognize some of these names. These are brethren in East Tennessee. Spent some days among the Bowmans, the Zimmermans, the Krauses, the Garbers, and the Bayshores. I don't know how we let some of them escape all the way down there to some of those Bay Shores, but they were down there in 1835. And then this portion I want to read from by the way, he kept his diary every day for 29 years, and this is from Thursday, April 28th, 1836. And I want to read this because of how it relates to the sermon that I'm going to be preaching in a moment. This afternoon, oh, by the way, this was following a love feast at the Brick Church in Augusta County, Georgia in 1836. The afternoon meeting was well attended. The second chapter of Peter's first letter was read. Much good instruction for self-examination was given, both in German and in English, from the general scope of the chapter. I made a few remarks on the middle clause of verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2, on the words, love the brotherhood, love the brothers and sisters, we would say. I fear we do not speak or exhort one another as plainly and warmly as we should on this most essential part of every true believer's experience and life. What keeps us united and a happy people? Love of the brotherhood. What keeps us from quarreling with one another, from slandering and defrauding one another? Love of the brotherhood. What keeps alive our sympathies for each other in times of distress and in seasons of sorrow? Love of the brotherhood. This is the golden chain that binds us together on earth and will forever bind us together in heaven. As the rain first comes from the sea, and after refreshing and beautifying the land, goes back to the sea, so it is through us, brethren, that the love we receive from Christ here will be made perfect and return to him there. Oh, brethren, let us not love in word only. Let us love in deed and in truth.
as we turn to our time of the offering, obviously my focus has been NYC. I will be a small group leader next week, so I've been reviewing all my little book and my texts and things. And I just thought for the offertory thought what I would share with you, this is the passage that the kids are going to be focusing on this coming week. It's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And I'm reading it from the Message. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road and in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak and act the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts you have so generously given to us. Help us, Lord, to discern those gifts and to use them for your glory and your will. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture lesson this morning is from Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule. love your neighbors as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law.
You know, I think we don't realize what an incredible statement this is, that the entire system of commandments from the law and the prophets is summed up in this one commandment: love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, what that means, I believe literally, is that as we are able, willing and able to love our neighbors as ourselves, we're fulfilling all of the commandments. And that's pretty incredible, don't you think? Or is it too hot for things to be incredible today? Well, what does it mean to love our neighbor as ourself? Well, the word love here, many of you are Bible students, and you know that while we only have one word, love, to describe our feelings about strawberries and pets and children, the Greek language has several words to describe love. And one of them is the word agape. And that's the word that Paul is using here. And the word agape, which we translate love into the English language, is the only word that's used to describe God's love for his children. In fact, I want to read one of the testimonies of the love of God that John includes in his first epistle, reading from John chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. Listen just to the first portion of this. Dear friends, let us love one another, the word agape, and for because love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love. And that's the one of the unique things about agape love. It's not the kind of love that can be expressed only in a song or a poem. It must be shown. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. It is a love not only that must be shown, but it's a love that must sacrifice something of the one who is giving, who is showing that kind of love. It's a sacrificial kind of love. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So there you see the word sacrifice. To love as God loves is to give of ourselves sacrificially for the lives of others. One of my favorite stories that demonstrates this, that comes from the New Testament, is that story that comes from the Gospel according to Luke, where Jesus is invited into the home of one of the Pharisees. And while Jesus is there, sitting at table with the Pharisees and other important religious leaders in Jerusalem, this woman of the night comes in. And the Pharisees and these other important religious leaders, they are aghast at what is taking place. So much so that they couldn't even speak. They were speechless at the audacity of this woman to come in. She came in with an expensive alabaster jar of perfume. And she had been touched by the love of Jesus. And now she was no longer a woman of the night. She was a woman of the light. She was so
overcome by her love for Jesus, that she began to weep in his presence, and she knelt down at his feet, and her tears fell on his feet, and she washed his feet with her tears and wiped them dry with her hair. And I don't know if Jesus read their minds or could tell by observing their body language that they were disgusted by what they were witnessing. And so he told this little parable. He said, there's a certain farmer who had two sons, and he said to one of his sons, could you go out in the field and work for me? And the son said, sure, I'd love to. And then he didn't. And then he said to another son, could you go out in the field and work for me? And that son said, nah, I'm too busy. But he did. And then Jesus asked, so which of these sons loved their father the most? And they all agreed that it was not the one who talked the talk, but it was the one who walked the walk, who didn't merely speak of his love for his father, but demonstrated his love for his father. And then Jesus pointed to the woman, and he said, that's exactly what's happened here today. She loves much, and she has been forgiven much. That's the kind of sacrificial, self-giving love that our God has for us. And that's the kind of love that we're called to have for our neighbors. So that leads to a very interesting question, doesn't it? Well, who is my neighbor? And if you think you're the first to ask that question, you're not. There was another religious leader who approached Jesus, trying to trick him. And he said, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, what do the scriptures say? And this very astute student of the Bible said, well, the scriptures say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, that's right, do that, and you'll enter the kingdom. Then he said, but who is my neighbor? Ah, he had him right where he wanted. That's when Jesus told the parable of the Samaritan, the good Samaritan. That was his answer to the question, who is my neighbor? A Samaritan? A foreigner? Someone who lives many miles away? No, no, no! My neighbor is the person who lives next door to me, and in my case, down the mountain from me. And he's a good neighbor. We typically think of neighbor as somebody who lives close to us, and often we get along pretty well with them. And when they come to borrow a cup of sugar, we are willing to express sacrificial love to them. I'll bring it back. They say, nah, don't worry. We're such good neighbors. This Samaritan guy, I mean, there was one group that Jews hated more than every other group, and it was the Samaritans. And so it was not a coincidence that Jesus had the Good Samaritan as a main character in the story. It was a hated person, a stranger, a foreigner, and yet he was a good neighbor. The word neighbor, plesion, means literally one who is near. Not one who lives near, but one who is near. So as you and I go through life, everybody that we pass is a neighbor. And we're called to reach out and love them sacrificially, to give of ourselves, showing the love of God to them. Let your light so shine before men, Jesus said, men and women, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Love your neighbor. Now, those are the easy parts. The final part is really the toughest one.
because we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. And the tough thing about that is that many of us don't love ourselves. Oh, I know we put on this facade when we come to church on Sunday about how great everything is, and we dress up. I mean, trust me, I don't mow my lawn the way I'm dressed right now. But I meant to bring an object lesson with me, and I forgot it, left it on the island back at home. But Carol, my wife, is of Russian stock, and so she collects matushka dolls, nesting dolls. And I was going to bring one of them, and it has 9 dolls within the one that you see on the outside. And the one that you see on the outside is very bright and beautiful and smiling face. And that's the person that we try to show one another, especially when we come to church. But then if you open up that one, there's another one inside that looks very much like the first one. But this is the part of ourselves that you need to know us, you need to be able to know us a little bit better before we'll show you that part of ourselves. And then if you open that one up, there's another one inside that one, and you have to really like us before we'll show you that part. And then there's another and another. There's one that after 42 years of marriage or 56 years of marriage, we finally are willing to show one another, you know, as we lay there in bed in the morning with our hair kind of and sort of some moisture dripping down across the beard of Herman. And we look at each other and we're a mess. And we realize how desperately we love one another. That one, it takes a very special person to show that part of ourselves. But then if you go through the nesting doll, you find at the very core this tiny little one, and that's the one, friends, that we don't even know. Oh, yeah, it's us. But it's that part of us that we ourselves don't know. I mean, we know so much about the other layers that we're afraid to open that one. But here's the thing about our God. God loves the one that we show to everybody on Sunday. God loves the one that we show only to our friends. God loves the one that we show to our most intimate friends. And God even loves that part of us that we have not yet figured out. I want to share with you in closing a birthday card that I got last year from Sister Moderator Nancy. My birthday is always over annual conference. And last year, Nancy gave me this card, and it says, "Do you know why you deserve the most wonderful birthday in the world?" And then you open it up, and it's got a little recording that used to say, "Because you're the most wonderful person in the world." And more than a year later, I've held on to this card. Because every now and then, I want to open it up and at least hear somebody say that I'm a wonderful person, you know. And so I'm going through stuff now as I'm sorting through things that I need to put in the trash and things that I need to take with me. And I found this card. And I opened it up wanting to hear that wonderful message again. And I thought, particularly as I was thinking about this message today, I thought, how appropriate. Those are the very words of God to us. Even to that secret, most hidden part of us.
our God says, you know why I love you? Because you're the most wonderful, because you're the most wonderful, because you're the most wonderful. Bob, Hershey, Dell, Fern, because you're the most wonderful person I've created you to be. And even though you don't know it yet, I love you with all my heart. Paul said, all of the commands of the Bible can be summed up in this one word: love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Oh, good. I really consciously tried to cut that one down. There are three great commandments in the Bible. The first and greatest is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. A second, like unto it, is love your neighbor as you love yourself. And the third, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you should love one another even as I have loved you. For by this all men and women will know that you are my disciples. God wants us to become great lovers. And so let's go out from this place today, exercising, sharing, showing the wonderful love of our God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all of God's people say, amen.